I'll be reading from Haggai chapter 1, verse 9. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house.
We'll turn into your Bibles, Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, and if you will, and also keep a finger on chapter 3. In the first four verses of Ezra chapter 1, we're told that King Cyrus was moved by God to allow the exiled Jews to return to Jerusalem for the express purpose of rebuilding the temple. And God had so moved him that he made actually a national proclamation that this was going to happen, and that he also asked the Persian citizens to provide the Jews with financing, with silver, with gold, with household goods, and with livestock, and also with free will offerings. And then as you go down into verse 6, it tells us that the citizens aided the Jews by giving all that the king had asked. And even the king himself gave. He had returned the items that had been taken from the temple when it was destroyed. And that inventory, if you will, is quite impressive. It was 30 gold dishes, 1,000 silver dishes, 29 silver pans, 30 gold bowls, 410 matching silver bowls, along with 1,000 other articles, and everything amounted to about 5,400 items of gold and silver. What a start, don't you think? And when the Jews got to Jerusalem, according to Ezra chapter 3, the first thing that they did was to begin to build the altar. And it goes on in that chapter to say that they offered their burnt offerings according to the law of Moses. And in spite of maybe the fear of the people around them, they celebrated the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was then after this tremendous feat that the construction on the temple began. I don't know if you've ever read anything as far as the construction, but the temple that Solomon built, the temple that the Babylonians destroyed, was a feat of construction. The foundation went many feet into the ground of solid rock, solid stones cut. Those foundations are still there. They had laid the foundation. They held a celebration after the foundation was constructed, and it was a celebration that was filled with joy and weeping. Not of sadness, but of happiness. But then something ugly happened. The people that lived in the land around them stirred up trouble. They bribed and politicked their way into stopping construction. The Jews became discouraged. They became distracted with their own pursuits. So for 16 years after the foundation was laid, it remained untouched. So what do we have so far? We have one that God moved the heart of a king, that he moved the heart of the people, that he moved the heart of Jerusalem, of the Jews themselves, with a desire to go home and work on the temple. But the question is, has God moved our hearts toward a greater passion for his work? The foundation's been laid. Jesus made sure of that. The apostles built on that foundation. But has that foundation been collecting dust all these years? You know, the Jews' foundation was collecting dust because the people got sidetracked. Now, if you will, let's go to the prophet Haggai. And we'll be focusing the lesson on the first 9 verses of chapter 1. Haggai is prophesying during this time in the history of the Jews, after they have returned back to Jerusalem. And he comes declaring God's message to those exiles. Starting in verse 2, we'll read through verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I might be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but behold, it became little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Friends, how often does Israel's story become our story? How many times have we become excited about something the church is planning or trying to do? We've been encouraged. We've been blessed. And God has provided for us. God has protected us. God has equipped us. And we get started and we start building a foundation of a godly life, but then adversity sets in. Tough times. Children are born. Careers are pursued. Financial and health issues. Then we begin to age and then we start thinking about our security. And somewhere along the line, our zeal for the Lord's work dwindles. We become apathetic. Find ourselves taking care of our own needs. Have we mirrored God's comments in Haggai 1, verse 6? Have we planted much and harvested little? There have been times in our lives where we have worked and worked and planted, and planted, and yet harvested very little. Why? Because our work was outside of God's will and dreams. Our dreams, our efforts, oftentimes is all about us. We become selfish. We become self-centered. And sometimes we even become narcissistic. Life has become all about our dreams. And we've harvested little. Been done that and been there. I remember those times as being frustrating, exhausting, empty. and even sometimes emotionally painful. But there is a remedy for this, and that remedy is to give God His rightful place in our lives. We need to put Him in our dreams, our aspirations in life, if you will. We need to put God in our marriages. We need to put God in our children and in our careers and in our daily routines. Again, God said in verse 6 of Haggai chapter 1, you eat and drink, but you never have enough. This has more to do with seeking physical pleasures than it does with eating and drinking. In other words, the more we use, the more we need or want, and it's never enough. I don't know if it was a true story. I heard a couple of years ago, a guy was standing in line in Florida to buy one of those Powerball lottery tickets. And a guy was standing behind him and said, man, and I think it was like $300 million, something like that. And the guy behind him was standing there and he said, boy, I hope I win. I really need that money. And the guy turned around and looked at him and said, you really need $300 million? What kind of trouble did you get yourself into? Friends, it seems that's the way it is in our lives. The more we want, the more we need. And Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 6, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. For they shall be satisfied. In verse 6, Haggai says, you clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Friends, this is a statement about security. Has nothing to do with you going out there with just a t-shirt and a pair of pants on and being cold. God is saying that you're trying to protect yourselves from the elements around you, but you're still cold. The truth is, in this world, there is no security. Lightning strikes. Planes fall from the sky. Cars crash. There is no security outside of God and a life lived in His will. Now think about it for a moment. We buy insurance to take care of our homes, our cars, and after we die for our loved ones. We have health insurance to take care of our health when we're sick. We have financial organizations to take care of our money. But for all of our efforts, for all of our coverage, we humans still have a 100% death rate. That is not going to change anytime soon. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, he reminds us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, upon Christ. In other words, the Hebrew writer is saying, stop focusing on what you can see and focus on what you can't see, the unseen. Everything that we see, this building, the yard, the grass, the trees, the beauty around us, the city of Malden and all around us, it's all temporary. There's going to be a day and time when the Lord calls and it's all going to be gone. What is unseen is eternal. When we put our hope in what we can see, taste, and smell, we're going to be disappointed. Just like that calzone I got Thursday night. During the time of Christ, there was some of the Jews who placed their faith in security in the Roman government. We know them as the Herodians. They were a sect of the Jews. And they thought that Herod or his family was their ticket to genuine security. But in Matthew 7 and verse 6, Jesus, he said there, do not give to the dogs that which is holy. Do not cast your pearls before pigs, because they are going to trample them and then turn around and attack you. We can't put our faith and trust in the government, any government for that matter, because they're going to protect themselves. And when the time comes to use us, it will turn on us and tear us apart. Just think what happened at the beginning of the month. Brethren, do you realize that in the month of January, you Christians, us Christians, were labeled domestic terrorists? You realize that? The same government that gave us the First Amendment. Genuine security is found by placing our faith and trust in God, working His work, living under His will, living a Christ-centered life instead of a self-centered life. It is only then that we are going to find and have true security. In the last clause of Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, and he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. God blessed these exiles. He blessed those who were taken into captivity because they lived. They were not totally exterminated. We had the great ones who lived, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, great men of faith, Esther, Mordecai. God blessed them. And many of those exiles, when they left Babylon and come home, came home and they were wealthy. They had money. Focus was on God. And their blessings continued. The whole time their focus was on God. Now trust me when I say that when they laid the foundation of the temple, they didn't do it overnight. It took a long time to get that work done. But somewhere, during those 16 years of apathy, they began to hoard their money. They began to place their trust again in wealth. But God said that their purses had holes in them. Then he says, what you brought home, I blew it away. And we sit here and we tell ourselves, well, that can't happen to us. Anybody forget 2008? How many people felt secure in 2008? I'm selling cars at CarMax. I had a guy that came in, he was going to buy a car, and the first thing he said was, well, I asked how you want to apply for the loan. He says, no, I'm going to pay for it. He said, do you have a computer that I can access my money market account? And we only had two computers that customers could access the internet. And so after they type in their passwords and stuff like this, I have to physically see their amount. And he sat there when it showed up and his arms dropped to his side. He said, I can't buy the car today. I said, why not? He says, I don't know where my money went. He had the money to buy the car, but then that would have left him without a safety net. He watched it go down the tubes. It just disappeared. He didn't know where it went. He couldn't see it. It just blew away. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul, having this discussion with Timothy in verse 17, Paul said to Timothy here, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Richly provides us with everything to enjoy. and James in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3, James writes, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded and will be evidence against you and will heat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days." What are we being told here? What is both Paul and James trying to tell us? That our blessings as God's children, our monetary blessings that aren't used in glorifying God or helping our fellow man, is going to disappear. We can't take it with us. Think for a moment. Jesus, he's feeding the 5,000. But what if the apostles had taken the loaves and the fish and put it in their backpacks? Just to say they had backpacks, okay? And then they go back to Jesus and ask for more, only to put that in their backpacks, to hoard it. All the while, all those men, women, and children go without. What would be your impression of those apostles? Is that what we are doing with God's monetary blessings? Do we keep stuffing our backpacks with God's blessings and then go back to stuff it with more? When we do that, God's going to just blow it all away. In verse 9 of Haggai, he sums up the lesson. Haggai 1 and verse 9. He says, "You expected much, but you see it turned out to be little. Because my house, my temple remains in ruins, while each of you is busy with his own house and your own pursuit." First Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 16 and 17, Paul picks up this theme. He says here, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." God is telling us here, through His word that has been passed down. As Paul wrote to the Romans, all these things were written for our learning. Telling us to consider our ways. Are our ways in step with God's ways? My friends, that's a lot for us to consider. And it is going to require on our parts individually a tremendous amount of reflection. Are our ways His way? If you are not a child of God, give some thought today by submitting to His rule and His reign. Be born again. Be born from above by faith and repentance and confession and New Testament baptism. It will cleanse your soul. It will put you in Christ, give you the gift of the Spirit. As children of God, here is our challenge. If the distractions of life have pulled us away from our focus, if we are working and working and are never fulfilled, if our addictions are unfulfilling, if we're seeking security but we never feel warm and secure, if we're hoarding, but what we're hoarding never seems to be enough, then it's time that we refocus, fix our eyes back on the Christ that saved us, that well that never runs dry. And if you've been in exile, you can come out of that exile and come live the life God created for us to live. Is any that has a need, please come as together we stand and we sing.